Our reading is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, where our Lord is addressing his apostles. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A man by the name of Anton LaVey is known as the father of American Satanism. He put together a creed for the occult, 9 satanic statements. And if you were to look at them and study them, you will see that they are almost point by point a direct refutation of the teachings of Christianity. It's almost as if he took Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and tried to teach the negative of it. It's interesting that the satanic church in our country and throughout the world makes its primary focus and target Christianity. The devil knows that there's not a whole lot of need to spend time on the Hindu faith or Buddhism or Islam, because those who follow those teachings and bow at those altars are already in his domain. His primary effort and work and attack and target has to be Christ and the gospel. In the text before us, our Lord Jesus is sending out his apostles. The gospel that they are to bring and to preach and proclaim is the one and only great hope for humanity. It is the one and only doctrine and teaching that can counter the work of the devil. It is only through Christ alone that any of us can have our many sins forgiven. It is only through faith in Christ alone that we can be right with God and are right with God, declared righteous in his sight. It is only through faith in Christ alone that we can be sure that we have everlasting life waiting for us in heaven. That is the precious and powerful gospel that Jesus sends out into the world to have his church proclaim. And Jesus said it very clearly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, absolutely no one, comes to the Father except through me. And the devil is well aware of that statement and the truth of that statement, which is why his efforts have to be so strongly directed toward the gospel. On the one hand, getting to heaven and the way of the gospel is the easiest thing possible because Christ has taken it all out of our hands. However, the path of faith in this life to hold on to Christ and to confess him in this world, that is the most difficult path in this world as well. And Jesus says to his apostles here, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's quite an image, isn't it? Sheep in the midst of wolves. And it's no wonder that the church is going to face such opposition in the world. The world's natural inhabitants, just like all of us, the way we were born into this world before being brought to faith by God's grace, the world's natural inhabitants are enemies of Christ. This planet is his domain. This is his home turf. And the vast majority of people in this world bow at altars that honor Satan, even though they might be decorated with different gods and have a variety of different names to be called. And the majority of institutions of higher learning in the world today likewise are used as mouthpieces to attack Christ and his gospel in various ways. The culture in which we live rages with venom against the members of Christ's church. And so, should the forceful resistance that Jesus describes to his apostles, should that in any way surprise us? Of course not. Not only is Satan openly challenging Christ through things like the occult, but he masks himself through various other movements, and at times he even takes on the role of earthly governments. And yet we need to keep in mind, and Christ would have us keep this in mind, that at the core of all of this conflict, no matter what different instrument the devil may use to put pressure on the church and believers, at the core is the great struggle between Satan and the Almighty God. I'm going to assume that your parents taught you when you were little, as mine did, to how to get away from somebody who would apparently do you evil. If a stranger approaches you, run. If someone comes and tries to grab you or take you, run away, bite, kick, scream, do anything you can to get away and go and hide. That's the way we are taught to respond when someone who might be attacking us not only is a threat, but has the potential to be stronger than us. But it's interesting when you look at how Christ sends out the members of his church, not only the apostles here specifically with their mission, but to all of us, he doesn't tell us to run and hide in this world. He doesn't tell us to go sign up to go into a convent or a monastery to protect ourselves and isolate ourselves from the evil that the devil causes to work in this world. No, instead, he turns to you and me and he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go right out into the world and proclaim my name and the gospel. And what does this show us about Christ, his church, and his cause? First of all, it shows us the power of his word, the absolute power of the word of God, that you can take it right into the teeth of the enemy. It also shows us the importance of confessing him in this world, because that's the only hope the world has. And it also shows us his great promise that's connected to that great commission to his church when he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And when this happens, as Jesus here predicts for his apostles, when this happens, when his church goes and proclaims him in the world, there will be opposition. And oftentimes it will cause Christians to have to stand even before political rulers, just as Christ did before Pilate. And if you follow the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you see example after example of how this happened. If you study the history of the early church, we see frequently how those who professed Christ had to be called in front of the authorities. If you look at the age of the Reformation, likewise, the great challenges that those who wanted to stand up for the Word of God and for the gospel, the great challenges that they faced in doing so from worldly leaders. Many of the most poignant and important moments in the history of the Christian church when it comes to confessing Christ in the world are done before kings and princes and rulers and those in authority. But even there, staring at the most power that this earth can put together, even there, Christ gives this comfort to his apostles. Do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. An early church father said it this way: in the same way that a gifted musician picks up a flute and plays beautiful music through the flute, so the Holy Spirit used the intellect, the memory, the voice, the ability, the mental faculty of each of these apostles to stand and proclaim his truth and his word. And even those who've been brought to faith and confess the same faith of those apostles, when we draw upon their sacred word in the scriptures, when we confess that same doctrine and truth before the world, drawn from the apostles, many who have done that as well in various conversations and in various poignant moments in their own life have found the same thing to be true, that the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to make that confession. Your gracious Savior says to you and me, just a little bit further in the same chapter 10 of Matthew, "Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Just think what damage our mouths can do to the devil. May God so bless our hearts and our mouths. Amen.